Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 18th. Alrighty, we passed the Ides of March. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And as always, glad to have everybody joining us live in the chat. And also a thank you to those that catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And remember, in addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs, and you can find them at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, we have a fun topic tonight. We have an important topic about how technology can shape our modern lives and experiences, inspired by a true life story. So I'll kick it over to you.
Well, earlier this week, and Wendy knows this because I messaged Michael accidentally in Wendy's message, and I went, oops, Wendy. So Wendy got apprised of this, and I have to later say it's okay. Week before last, my internet was shorting out. I call into the internet company, service company, Shaw Rogers. And, of course, don't you know my modem? It's pretty funny. I felt for a minute like I was in a Monty Python slick. She said, your motor is overheating. I don't know what she's talking about. Well, in her nationality, that made sense. But anyway, she meant modem. So they're going to send me a new modem. So it comes Monday morning. No problem. I go to set it up. Nothing's working. I can't get it to work. Okay. So I phone. Now, I got to tell you, this is an hour and a half. I told them what I couldn't get my Wi-Fi to work. The TVs was somehow working, but no Wi-Fi. So why isn't it working? I show up on my phone. You know, here's what's showing up. What do I log into? Obviously, it's changed, you know, username and password. And this poor girl, an hour and a half or more, talking to her supervisor, all the tech support. No, we can't figure it out. We did all this troubleshooting. It was painful. So I plug in the old modem. It's fried. It's not working. So put the new one back in. Well, whatever. So the solution was to wait till Thursday and send out a technician. That was the earliest. Mm-hmm. And she's so sorry, so sorry. So what do? You know, I sit back at the kitchen table and I say, well, all right. Well, at least the TV's working. Okay. The next morning I get up, TV's not working. Nothing's working. So here I am in memory lane. Who was I and what did I do before the land of technology? Well, I can't even get any music playing. And I realize I don't even have a plug-in AM/FM radio except my emergency one, you know, that you crank up and whatever, you know. Now, well, this is stupid. So, you know, I get cleaned up, go into the morning. And I say, you know, I'm going to phone in again because maybe I can at least, you know, hardwire into my TV like the old days. Again, mm-hmm. I'm going down memory lane.
Right.
So I phone in. I tell the girl it should be there on the file what happened yesterday. The modem's not working. Can I hardwire in? Well, the other blah, blah, blah little thing has to be working. I said, well, wait a minute. You mean a TV won't work without that extra technology, even if you hardwire in with a cable cord? Like, because I said, I'm old. And in the old days, you plug in the TV, you know, hook up the cable, and voila. No, it doesn't work that way anymore. And I'm shaking my head, and I'm thinking, what? So anyway, she wants to video camera with me. So she sends me a link, gets on a video so she can see what I see. So she knows I'm not lying to her and complete nutcase. And all the wires are behind my little fireplace. And I have to pull everything out. And then she notices that my power bar was off. Somehow, the power bolts, mm-hmm. power, you know, right. any bar, the bar switch went off. I said, oh, well, that was stupid. I don't know how that happened, but sure, okay. I've been dicking around with all these cords. Turn it on. And she said, well, let's start over. I said, okay. Now, you got to understand, 20, 30 minutes has gone by again. So she says, plug in the new modem. Okay. And I said, wow, I've got TV. She said, yeah, it all shows that you're working, that everything's working. So I go to my phone. I said, but I have no Wi-Fi. So she says, is there anything on the packaging that shows you a new username and password? So, of course, I take the camera. Man, I'm showing her everything I'm doing. And nope. She said, well, it should be on the bottom of the modem. What? I said, are you kidding me? I go over, I turn the modem upside down. There it is. Username and password, of course, comes with a new modem. I started laughing almost hysterically because this has been the dumbest experience I've had. And I said, yeah, but I, you know, yesterday, she said, it was obviously an oversight. Yesterday. So I key in this new username and password into my phone. It's all working. So I thanked her very much. And I said, well, that's an event. This whole ordeal has been a really big learning event. I should have been, like, when I phoned in, like on Monday, they should have said, yes, you have a new username and password. It's, you know, taped to the bottom of the modem, and it should have been a 5-minute call. But it was this massive ordeal. I was exhausted. I got to tell you that, Michael. Well, this technology that makes me nuts anyway.
Oh yeah, and just
go ahead.
It's one of those things also where in this day and age of needing a lot of tech support, sometimes it really depends on who you get. Right. Like, it took that final person kind of, you know, really going through it. I go through this all the time in my job too. You know, a lot of times if I'm not getting a good vibe, sometimes I'll even start over, right? Go for a new agent because that can make the whole difference. But what's, you know, when you were talking about the story you talked about, thinking back to what you did back in the day, I go through that a lot too when we have hurricanes. So,
yeah. You know, yeah, sure.
Last, I remember when Ian came through in 22, we were out of power for going on 2 weeks and just going off the generator and, you know, just going to get water. And, you know, we were going, you know, roughing it a wee bit. You know, I had a generator, so that made things easy. It didn't have air conditioning, but I had a refrigerator, you know, and I'd have to turn the generator off overnight just to let it cool and, you know, save on fuel and all that. But I will tell you, I did go out and I had an antenna for emergencies for my TV so I could at least get some updates from things because, you know, I just have the internet. And Yeah, for a couple of weeks, I was going back to watch the antenna TV and commercials, and, you know, thinking, hey, that show's coming on later. I'm going to be around for that.
And, Take a metal hanger with tinfoil up there, you know.
But I was watching, like, the A-Team. I was watching, you know, all kinds of old TV shows from back in the day in the 80s and such. It was, you know, MASH. Ah, it's good stuff. But, yeah, you know, it was interesting. It was a kind of, and dare I say, I know it was, you know, devastating. It, you know, cost me a lot of money and effort and patience and time. And that was when my dad would be kayaking down the street to, so we could get him supplies and things. So, you know, not to make light of it, but there were some nicer things. You know, a lot of people came together. It was a lot of community, a lot of people out and about, neighbors helping each other out, moving debris, getting to know people that way, bonding that way. You know, again, one of those things. So when nature inevitably will at times rip your technology away, and also bad call center techs, but when your technology gets ripped away, things change, and sometimes, you know, we reacclimate. Now I'm talking about going from 21st century technology in the 2020s down to 1990s technologies, because I still have antenna TV, I still have a refrigerator, yeah. You know, I have lights. You know, and eventually, you know, I didn't have anything other than call and text for a long time. So I had no idea what was going on in the world other than what came through on the radio, other than what I would catch on the news, on the broadcast TV. I mean, but back to be in a time before constant internet stream, you know, that's wild.
Well, this, I like to believe, Michael, I have weaned myself off of so many things, like getting up in the morning. I don't touch anything, you know, sitting in the dark with my coffee and my cat, you know, and I, you know, kind of slowly emerge. I might play a little music then, but I don't turn the TV on for a long time. I do go to my computer and I, you know, connect with Facebook so my friend knows I'm not dead, because we have this system where she checks to make sure I'm okay, you know, and okay, but then I don't go to it. Like, yeah, it's my way of telling her I'm fine. But I realized how addicted even I have become. Like, I can live without internet and whatever should stuff happen. But at least I know that I'm in the same boat as everybody else. But I was an island for a minute.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh my, you'll have to read a book. You'll have to do stuff. You know, you're going to have to get off your butt, Vicky. Like, oh, so that's how much time you spend on the computer. Ah, yes. Okay. So all those things going through my mind. And, but you know, I had to throw one more kick at the cat. At least let me have the TV, you know? And as it turned out, it was a simple solution, but it was a great lesson. And I, like Howard says, that he's had a problem with his electric car, and it's in for repairs, and now he has to get used to driving a gasoline-powered car. You see what I mean? You know, we leap forward, and then when it's all taking, you know, it's all taken away, it's like, who are we? What do we do with our time in our lives? You know, it's like all the things, that the disinformation, misinformation, all the AI, you know, we're already filtering our brains and trying to discern what's what and where and who and did that really happen and double checking and all this stuff. But when it's suddenly not there, poof. And so I learned two things. Not all professionals are really professional and know what they're doing. That's a good lesson. I learned again. And learning about my own addictions. You know, it was a good moment for me. The only thing I was really upset about was not being able to come on Wednesday night. And that's why, of course, I, you know, connected with, I'm using data on my phone. I'm connecting with Michael. And I'm thinking, I don't want to miss the Wednesday show. You know, okay, till Thursday I can fill the time, but I don't want to miss Wednesday. See, I'm addicted to you, Michael.
Well, and to our live chat group too. I gotta, you know, We get a lot from you guys. I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about, maybe grabbing some mobile equipment and hopping it overnight. We'll do a mobile hotspot over at the house and do everything live right there in person. But I don't have a passport, and I don't think they'd let me into Canada right now. But
Audra's got a great little testimonial going on in the chat. Wow, deja vu. I was in the kitchen talking to my son and the phone broadcaster playing in my bedroom. The whole conversation went from when my son grabbed his food to Dr. Keller saying technology as I walked in the room. I always get a weird feeling in my chest because she was having a deja vu. So she's asking, does anyone else have physical reactions when they experience something like that? And Audra's adding, whoever is running this simulation is being funny. And actually, I get a little bit of vertigo when I have deja vus, Audra. You know, it's like, feeling a little off balance physically. So I think everybody experiences a physical sensation. They just may not be fully aware of it. Deja vu is a good one, though.
Yeah, we should do another one on that. I've never had a physical sensation. I was telling you, Dr. Vicky, every time I have deja vu, I always kind of feel like I'm remembering it from a dream, but it's one of those weird things. Interesting story.
Just talking about technology and, we get together on these Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it a very long time, mm-hmm. for those who are new. And we do find all kinds of things to talk about because we never run out of ideas or chatter if it has to be. But that was another withdrawal. So, we learned so many things about ourselves when something is taken away. And that's another point. But technology really does run our lives. And in so many ways, I'm glad to have technology. The flip side is, that disconnect, that we don't have conversations with people like we used to. I know I've told this story several times on the program. I'll say it again. Years ago, when I was raising chickens, I had a chicken book, but I had to phone my friend Lois for a chicken question. She said, well, just read it in the book. I said, well, then I got nothing to talk to you about. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You have a question, you go on Google. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what happened when, my kids are – they're married, they got a house, they're gardening, and they're Googling everything. I said, why don't you guys just ask me? Yeah, but Google tells us this and tells us that. And I'm thinking, but I can tell you that. You see, there's a disconnect in who we are. Hmm. And there are studies now about kids with cognitive abilities, decreasing with the onset of technology. There's some... countries and, like municipalities, even in Canada, that are starting to ban technology for younger kids.
Well, social media specifically.
Yeah, social media.
I think that's the big divide. I don't think it's technology per se, like TV and blah, 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 or even game, whatever. It is social media that is fundamentally changing so much. And this, generation that came up on social media, came up on Facebook, came up on, TikTok and things like that. And it is the nature of social media interactions. It is the nature of TikTok videos and the length and reels and things like that. People just don't have the stamina to, focus on movies as well anymore, There was a stand-up comic, I wish I could remember who to credit, but who did this whole bit about how, back in the day when, it was TV was the bad thing and he felt real proud of himself for reading a book. These days, if he watches a full movie, he's real proud of himself for sitting down and just focusing on a movie for two hours or more. And, it's because, you doom scroll, right? You get so, accustomed to flipping through things and flipping through videos and your attention span decreases. And
Well, that's a good to answer Howard's question about how do you think technology impacts emotional intelligence? You know,
yeah.
It's two ways I'd like to answer that, but to what you're saying, Michael, is it's totally relevant, you know, mm-hmm. is that we're so quick and I think we lose some empathy, you know,
and
a reality check.
When things are so anonymous and faceless on the internet,
yeah.
you know, you can really forget that the people you're arguing with are people. Well, if they're even people, a lot of times, I think a lot of people know this these days, but, you know, the majority of traffic on social media on the internet right now is driven by AI bots.
Yeah.
But anyway, or so tools. That's another thing to keep in mind, which is another thing about how technology is changing. Now, you know, we are going to be dealing with artificial intelligence presences, you know, and we know that they're not sentient. Mm. I refuse to say sentient. We know they're not sentient, but it's a personality. It's a thing. Humans, you know, what's the term when you apply human traits? I've asked this before. I always forget. Anthropomorphizing. We're doing that all the time with things. You know, we put googly eyes on a Roomba and we, you know, give it personality and feeling. We're going to be dealing with AI on, you know, call centers instead of people. We're going to be dealing with it on chat centers. We're going to be dealing with it on the internet. We already are. There are people that are getting deep and, to them, meaningful relationships with AI. You know, it's just, and it's only going to get more and more, you know? Well-worn joke at this point is in the future, instead of, you know, you look, guess who's coming home for dinner or to dinner or whatever that movie was. I can't remember, with Sidney Poitier. And it was the whole scandalous thing was an interracial relationship back in the 60s. And the joke has been seen a few times, you know, into the 50 years in the future where, you know, your grandchild brings home a robot as a partner in life. And, you know, the reactions of people of my generation and stuff like that, it's, you know, there's so many metaphysical questions, you know, when does it become self-aware? Anyway, I digress. Technology's having profound impact.
I've been following several reels because the conversation has been coming up about how young people dismiss their parents so easily and walk away. There's this estrangement. And for those who don't know, I have an estranged son. Here's the theory, is 20, 30 years ago, with the onset of new therapy and all of your feelings and how important you are, of course, the self-esteem movement, which created a little bit of narcissism, but how validation became so important to these next generations. And so there's an emotional, and to answer more on your question, Howard, more of an emotional disconnect between the generations, but largely because of how psychology and these therapists have been treating people and a bit of the coddling. So then, you know, they talk about trauma, how young people feel traumatized by their parents, and yet the generations before were way more traumatized, but they still got along with their parents, or they still, you know, connected with their parents, but this next generations aren't doing that. And I have two other girlfriends who are in the same boat as myself with strange children, and it's, you know, it's just been an emotional journey, you know, coming to terms mm-hmm. with that. But it was fascinating where this one fellow in the video said, instead of looking at their own inadequacies, they would rather blame and point the finger. So they just don't talk to them. Talking to their parents, you know, it's just for punishment. And even no matter what the parent does, to say, what did I do? You know, how can we fix this? Like, you know, what's going on? How are you doing? There's no communication. So I think there's two things going on at once that's kind of waving together. One is technology, but the other is what we've done to ourselves in the name of, you know, how important your feelings are and what constitutes a trauma.
Yeah.
And I know with my oldest daughter and my granddaughter. My granddaughter going through some stuff, and my daughter says, yeah, but she's been through trauma. And I'm thinking, wow, something I didn't know about? What happened? Because I'm thinking trauma. In my world, it's a different measure of trauma. And she said, well, her friends abandoned her. I said, that happens to every kid. Yes, but this, you know, trauma, it does affect the brain chemistry. And no matter how big the trauma, it still has the same physiological effect. And I just shook my head. I was gobsmacked. But that's the way they're treating each other and how they're measuring trauma. So then when something, you know, really bad happens, you know, they end up in mental health care. So it's where the things, let's say in my generation, what we experienced in life and certain hardships. And I have a friend, she's just a little bit younger than me, but she's the oldest of five kids, and they were impoverished. I mean, sometimes they, parents would find a cabin to stay in. Well, they found, you know, got a job, and their kids are sleeping in tents, and it's really cold. And some days they didn't have breakfast. That's poverty, and that's trauma in a way. But she came through that fine. Howard's asking, do you think they equate adversity with trauma? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, by definition, all trauma is adversity, but not all adversity is trauma. But, you know, when it comes to things like this, yes, it's so much relative to experiences, right?
Yes.
Because I think most people are very adaptive. I think that, you know, people are more resilient than they think, you know. I remember, I think it was a Lincoln quote, but he said basically something to the effect, and I'm heavily paraphrasing, you can't test somebody's character by what they can survive, because most folks can survive most anything. You can only test somebody's character by, you know, once they have power and you see what they do with it and how they behave. That's the only true test, is when, you know, somebody is free of consequence. But I think people are resilient.
Again,
I think that...
Again, not the consequence part, I think, is important, too, because, you know, online they can say, as you said earlier, get away with anything. Yet, one-on-one, you know, they haven't learned a skill of necessarily a sensitivity or having a real back-and-forth conversation where somebody is replying with words verbally.
No, of course.
And physical gestures, you know, the whole experience.
And I think that there's, you know, a lot important to that. And there's plenty of stories and stand-up comedy bits about, you know, Gen Z and young Gen Alpha and how when they get into social situations or they're getting into their jobs and, you know, Gen Z are in their mid-20s going on, you know, late-20s at this point. They've been around. They start socializing. But that's my point. People are going to adapt. And it's going to be rough for some. A lot of people will get over it. They'll figure it out because you have to. That's just life. We have it easy. And I'm thinking also, I was listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast, and he had Ken Burns on, and they're talking about history. And, you know, they're talking about how everybody thinks like this. These are the end times. You know, everything is so horrible now. Everything's so awful now. You know, people are talking about how we're in a depression. We don't know it and this, that, and the other. But he's like, well, you know, in the Great Depression in the United States in the 1930s, there were several cities that closed down their zoos, killed the animals, and butchered them to feed to the people that were in the city because, you know, there was that level of hunger. You know, you say, when we get back to that, you know, maybe then we'll be in a depression. But even that level, the hardship that those people faced in the Great Depression, you know, which was a global event, that would have been, that style of living would have been infinitely preferable to many people that lived prior. You know, it's all relative to a point, right? Because the hunter-gatherers, the people that fought for survival, the people that were not on the top of the food chain, you know, the existence of people during the Great Depression would have been a paradise, comparatively speaking. So again, it's all relative. And people adapt. People adapt to the level, and there's going to be hardship during that adaptation process. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be people that have to figure out how to deal with it. But they will, because that's life. There is no choice. Life will mess with you. Life will smack you around. Yeah. Life will hit you, and life will, you know, challenge you. And different people get it to differing degrees, but it's only a matter of time. And then the choice is, you know, how are we going to deal with it? And admittedly, people that learn resiliency from an earlier age, they learn how to deal with it, it's going to be easier for them when life smacks them around later on, when random chance comes along and just things change forever. But that's something that's unavoidable. You're not going to get around that. And even if they don't have the coping mechanisms, they will learn. Whether it's easy or not, it is a whole different story.
Well, you know, it's a great conversation to have, and I wish more people were having it. And just to, you know, it's part of learning to interact again and part of learning how to communicate. You know, communication is a big thing with this school.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, Dr. Douglas Kelly, you know, big excerpts in all of the studies about communication. And we're doing our best, but I don't know, are we even diminishing ourselves without realizing it? I have a handful of really great friends. We have super conversations. We have to book phone dates because it's going to be 3 hours, you know, and that's not to say we can't phone each other randomly, but, you know, they're quick phone calls or did you see that or do you know about this or, and sharing. But there's this lost art, you know, that I'm afraid you know, some folks are losing. And but, you know, as you say, Michael, you know, we're going to at some point have to get these things back. I was talking to my kids, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I think I might have mentioned this where, you know, about the war and that's going on in the world. And I said, no, just, you know, my granddaughter got all panicked. I said, when there's a blackout, and there may well be, I think we're okay, but there might be, you know, these things happen. And, oh, well, what do you mean? And I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just be prepared like you would in fire season, you know, these things. It's just be prepared and your phones may not work. And they do still have a landline. And Quinn said, remember, we have a landline. And I said, yeah, but who are you going to call? Yes, but we can still get messages. I didn't push it because that's where their brain is. It's kind of like when I had asked this elderly friend of mine if they were prepared if there was a big power outage. And she said, oh, we just go to a hotel. And I'm thinking, what if they don't have power? But, you know, again, we are all thinking within our reality. And if you don't have a reality of having none of this, it's hard to imagine. Michael, you got a taste in a hurricane. I know that there are some of you who have been through other, you know, big, you know, climate issues or, you know, fires and floods and hurricanes that you do have kind of a taste of what that would be, albeit temporary. Mm-hmm. And, I think we have to keep, you know, I think we just have to remember who we are. And this is a good reminder for me. That's all I'm saying, you know, this week. And again, taking a different look at the world. And what did come to my mind, and this is the thing about aging, because I know some of us on here are a little older, is when I was younger and there was, well, I had lots of no TV for a long time. And I have things to do. And then 20 years on a farm, there was always something to do. I'd go riding, train my horse, go in the garden, be with the chickens, you know. There was always things to do. And now I'm older. The body doesn't work like it used to. And, there's no kids. There's no chickens. You know. There's no, So what's my motivation? And, you know, it's like you got to do something. You know, I'm just having to find self-motivation instead of an external motivation, which is another lesson in and of itself. So that's my speech.
Yeah.
Dawn is saying when she was a kid and snowstorms would knock out the power. The candles would come out and we'd play charades. I know. They're fun. We do have games day, too, once in a while. So it's fun.
I've recently been able to really begin appreciating card games and things like that.
Yep.
But, it's interesting how, you know, we have access to so much entertainment now, right? But I'll tell you, not that I necessarily want to go back per se, but there is something to say about the old days when you'd go to a Blockbuster and it'd be a Friday night and you'd get a couple of movies and maybe even a game. And now I have access to just a near infinite amount of games, a near infinite amount of TV shows and things like that. You know, endless options. And somehow it almost feels less satisfying because you have more choice, more control, more options. And that's a weird thing. That's a paradox to wrap our minds around. But, you know, it is interesting to reflect on how technology just shapes our modern lives. It's, you know, a cliche to even talk about it these days because, you know, it's so known how rapidly things are changing. But, you know, I do think the pace is picking up. It used to be centuries, sometimes thousands of years between significant changes, you know. There was always change, but, you know, real significant to a point where, you know, just everything after the Industrial Revolution just advanced so rapidly and it continues to go faster and faster and faster. So it's going to be interesting to see where things go. You know, I want to live a long time just to see how is it going to turn out. I want to finish, maybe not finish, but I want to go as many chapters as I can in the story.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting thing. So.
Well, I think it's that time, Michael. You know, we're going to pick some cards for some people. And for those who are new and don't know, Michael picks an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery deck designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I just do a tarot card to back it up and we see if there's a message.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So
we have Donna, if I've been following multitasking properly here.
I think you did, because that's Donna. What I have as well. So, Donna, glad to have you. And for you tonight, I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. And remain open.
Donna, I think this is a moment to chill. I got the temperance as a backup to that. So the story to me is, it's like, I always see temperance as water going with the flow. You know, if things aren't moving in the way that you'd like them to, or in an order or whatever, it's just chill out. And, Wendy says you had that card back in January. So it's a kind of a message. You know, there's always a time, as the block says, time to move forward and a time to just, you know, chill, watch, and wait for moments, because everything too is about timing. So if you're feeling, that's a little message to you, Donna. I hope that makes sense. And we have Howard. Good to see you here, Howard.
Howard, glad to have you. Tonight I have for you number 33, preference over principle.
I love that.
A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Yeah, I got the 9 of clubs to support that, Howard. And I think that the first feeling I got with that is someone might challenge you, or somebody might say something to you that you would think inappropriate or offensive, or you just kind of sit there, what? And it's really about, because the 9 of clubs really is about a guard card, self-protection, standing guard, And so not to get into it with somebody is just, you know, checking in with preference versus principle. So if ever you come across that kind of feeling, it's just maybe ask a question to them as opposed to reacting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a time to react. So I hope that makes sense to you, Howard.
All right.
Okay, we have Dawn.
All right. Dawn, I know we're pulling one for Amy as well, but Dawn, for you, I have number 13. A lot of threes tonight.
Yeah.
Positive consciousness. It's our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Well, I got the Ace of Wands, Ace of Clubs for you, Dawn. You know, I see the Ace of Clubs as achievement. So that positive consciousness is assured, you know, positive consciousness and your actions working towards something is resulting in successes, but through your own achievement. It doesn't mean you have to be too assertive, aggressive, or otherwise. Just keep doing what you're doing. It might seem, this is just what comes to my head, it might seem tedious or, you know, a grind at times, but stay positive because success is assured here. That's a hang in there, baby card.
All right. And Amy, for you, I have number 9, which is 3 squared, so kind of goes along with those threes. But number 9, empowerment. Yeah. Taking your power back is literally all powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution and principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, I truly got pulled 2 out at once, Amy. So Emperor and the Knight of Swords, which to me is the Jack of Spades. That's a lot of male energy. I guess when you feel, the word that comes to mind is belittled or inferior, or someone's trying to have power over you, just remember who you are. It's not allowing that energy to affect you, to bring you down. Just, you know, kind of check in with the source of where that's coming from, and don't take anything personally. And if this is something in your personal life, then I think you're learning some boundaries, because this is all about you empowering and not to be pushed around by anybody who thinks they're smarter or better than you. That's what I see in that, Michael.
All right,
Danelle.
Danelle, for you, I have wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above, It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
Yeah, you know, with the Six of Swords, you might be feeling a little challenged. Somehow, Danelle. Wendy says you haven't had that card before. I think that, you know, when we're feeling challenged or feeling under pressure, it's easy to become, you know, through frustration, it's easy to become angry. And I generally am a fighter myself. I don't like to show vulnerability. And when I was young, it would come out in a way of, because being that fighter, it would come across as anger as opposed to, boy, this scares the crap out of me and I don't like feeling vulnerable, so I have to go the other way. So if you kind of feel yourself in a situation, it's just check in with yourself, and don't let that frustration or anger get the better of you. Just know that this too shall pass and you'll get through it. Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Well said. You know, I like that.
Audra,
for you, I have number 16, continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Well, I got the Five of Spades this time for you. And I want to say that whatever frustration there's been or learning curve, particularly in the work environment, it's basically the Five of Spades said the battle is over. Now the healing begins. So I would say that, you know, if there was a hump in, you know, protocols or people and personnel, that kind of thing, that now you're into a new flow. There might be one or two characters not quite falling into line too quick, but this says that you did a good job. And I want to say in educating. So I hope that makes sense, Audrey. We have our card keeper, Wendy.
Wendy, and to those that are new to us, Wendy is our card keeper. She looks for those patterns in the Oracle cards, and so glad to have you with us. For you tonight, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in something is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
All right, Ten of Hearts. So that Ten of Cups, oh, Wendy said she had that last week. Well, this time it's a new awareness around family and extended family, Wendy. And a good one, but maybe you're seeing something you hadn't seen before or new knowledge you hadn't been given before. And I think that that adds another dimension to your experience with the people in your life. So maybe somebody is sharing something that you didn't know about. And, I get it. You know, and something I feel like in my, what I want to say is something you can help out with. That's good. All right, we have Kevin.
All right. I think Kevin is our last card of the evening, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Lupe joined in.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kevin, for you, I have number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, I love this, Kevin. It's the 9 of Diamonds. That 9 of Pentacles has everything to do with the home, organizing the home. It's now seeing a bit of a future for yourself in this kind of, I want to say breathing new life into an environment somehow. Oh, and Wendy said you had that card, the past, present, future, you know, back in January. But, you know, we also know, Kevin, that you went through some things and a few, you know, medical worries. And, you know, you're relieved at this moment. So now it's gaining your chutzpah again and looking around and saying, I think I have some energy and I want to make some changes and kind of reorganizing your home environment. That's what I want to say. So, awesome. Oh, mm-hmm. Wendy says you had that. Oh, January and February. Oh, there's a message there for you. You're going to be around for a long time yet, Kevin. So, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you're good. So, Lupe, what have we got for Lupe, Michael?
All right, Lupe, for you I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
This is interesting, Lupe. The Eight of Cups, you know, is Eight of Hearts with do no harm. You know, I always say the Eight of Cups is kind of like walking in the dark. You have nothing but your intuition. You know, it's a very educational but internally educational symbol. But that do no harm, do right. The first thing I want to say is sometimes it's better to walk away. Do no harm, do right. You know, Michael, have you ever had somebody say or do something around you and you go, oh, I didn't see that coming? And later you think, oh, I should have said something. I should have done this, should have done that. You didn't. It's in this case, it's just, I want to say, sometimes no interaction has a louder message than interacting. So follow your gut feeling, your intuition, your first instinct after shock, and just walk away. You know, just walk away.
Well said. All right. And just Dr. Jeff, he asked if he'd thrown his name in. I hadn't seen it, but I got one for Dr. Jeff. Always happy to include you. And for you, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values, beliefs, remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for that meaning. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not what is the purpose of life. Rather, it is what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when you embrace your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation. So I hope that resonates.
You know, I'm really sorry, Jeff. I missed it. Things are going so fast in the chat. Meaning, purpose with the Eight of Wands. So that Eight of Clubs, generally it's a very fast action, fast-moving energy. So meaning and purpose, you know what's interesting? Part of me says you might not know why you're doing what you're doing, except that it's going to pay off. Like you're getting very busy. And that's a good thing. You know, you might not understand it all, but just keep moving through it. So, because it is adding a meaning and purpose you're not fully aware of yet. That's what I get from that. And it may not make sense today, but I think it will later. So, you know, I've had a great night, Michael. Thank you as always. Time goes by so fast.
It does. It really does. No, it has been a good discussion. I always love it when we really get into these interesting topics, especially, you know, sometimes, especially when we don't really know what we're going to get into until, you know, we get together right before we go live. Yeah, sometimes those are the funnest discussions, I'll tell you. But as always, I appreciate you and appreciate everybody joining us. But, yeah, it's that time of the evening, so we're going to wrap up. And Dr. Vic, you have any final thoughts you want to leave us with for the evening?
Don't let them push you around out there, people. You know, life is going to have its way with us one way or the other. Don't let it change who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'll just say, add to that by, you know, saying, remember, you're always stronger than you realize, too.
Yes.
So, can't wait to see everybody again next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.